I'm further convinced that we attempt to mitigate the impact of unique expressions of faith, witness, testimony. I think that we as Christians attempt to mitigate the impact of unique expressions of faith and witness and testimony so that we won't look odd or somehow be irrelevant because of that particular way in which God is expressing himself today. So someone behaves a certain way and we go, Christians, you know, I'm not like that. I'm like you. That's not for me. It's a bit woo-woo out there, a little over the top, a little more emotional than I like to be as a Christian. We Scottish people don't do that. Right? A specific example of how he works to a specific audience might be specifically catered to someone in the audience who's hearing, who needs to hear it. And I'm apologizing because of the way someone does it. But when we apologize for God at work in others to iron out the wrinkles of an honest and transparent testimony, but ooh, what does that look like? Or to homogenize the milk of a Christian witness for mass appeal. You know, a little bit too much cream floaty on the top. You put a good shake and then pour it out and it's homogenized. It's what you like. You don't want the buttermilk, right? We'll mix it all up and it's just flat white juice for cereal. Okay? We do that to people's witness. And so you're in a room and you're having an experience, but you know what? No one else has ever shared anything like that. Maybe I'm weird. Or someone stands up and says, guess what happened to me? I saw a comb going across the Hillfoots hills, across through the gorse. And I felt like it was God is saying, I'm going to refine my church along these Hillfoots. I heard that before. I'm sharing a real thing. And I thought, well, that's a picture. Why am I better qualified to interpret the image in someone's mind of having received, they believe, directly from God, an idea that's believable enough? God's going to refine his church. He says it begins at the house of God. But because of the way they said it, and it was a picture that wasn't my picture, I thought, But I didn't make that face. I had a poker face. And I went, huh, that's really good for you and not for me. You know, and I didn't say those words either. My face was, huh, yeah. But is it allowed? And does God work that way? And did Paul see an angel that said, all of your lives will be saved from this shipwreck, but none of you must jump off the ship? And the Roman soldiers believed Paul, and they cut the rope from the, what do you call the rescue boat, right? They cut the boat. The sailors were like, I'm out of here, this is going to crash. And they were like, if you get off, you're going to crash. No boat. Shh. People who believe, follow. And people who follow a God worth believing are delivered. And this is the story in the scripture. And there I was, oh my goodness, making an excuse for a guy. And here we are, church, I think we apologize for God at work in others. And when we apologize for God at work in others in a way that's outside of the bell curve, in a way that is peculiar and stand out, we become apologists for the status quo. Keep things the same as they were. Keep things the same as they are. And if we kept things the same as they are, we'd be the church who isn't reaching anybody, and they will go into a Christless eternity because the seats in churches are empty. Look at you. You're in seats in a church that is filling up. What is happening here? But don't be an apologist for the status quo. Otherwise, we'd be relegated to the pile of, like, kooks outside respectable society. If we don't apologize and stick with normal, and we have these odd things, we'll be kooks. And then respectable society won't accept us. And so the problem is this. what about the present culture in the world is God honoring at all? What about the present society is respectable at all? Greed, sexual promiscuity, hostility toward other ideas that are not mainstream, right? In the main, this sexy society murders people in the womb. We sang a song about it. Did you see the line about it in the song we sang? Children who would grow and live to see the stars in the night sky and glorify God do not live by the choice of human beings to stop it. This society, right, is listing toward assisted murder of less valuable people. I don't agree with the idea, but the sick and the suffering and people who can't keep up, whose lives cost them so much. And the people in favor of this want to call this murder assisted suicide. I didn't kill him. He asked me for the needle, right? Because the person asked for death, people deal death, and it's not murder, it's assistance. That's what this society is coming to. Now, in this room, you don't agree with it, but you hear about it in the news, and you see that it's coming, and there's the one member of the Scottish Parliament who brings it up every year, and more people vote for it each year, but it hasn't passed yet. This is the society that we're trying to fit in, and you don't want to seem kooky, because then we'll be irrelevant. But irrelevant to what? Irrelevant to a society that's going to hell in a handbasket, that isn't seeking God, and that's running off the deep end. I say definitely stick out from that, because it's going to be the only voice of reason when it collapses. This is the thing. Because society believes the world we are building has no place for these souls, the unwanted child, the broken, the hopeless, they release them into the sleep of eternity, which also is to face the judgment of the God of all the earth. Do you stick out? Do you say, don't go! Don't go! Do you stand against the current of it? Maybe washed away for it if God in his mercy sees fit to let the world continue. But at least if you have warned, you have done your part. And Paul is sharing his testimony with these people. This world builds a hostile environment where in some cases death is better. Unwanted children, it's better. It's better if they're dead. I mean, they'll be poor, or maybe they'll be abused. What if they're physically disabled? They're better off dead, because we won't take care of them. That's the argument. That's the argument. But we Christians, we don't want to look odd or somehow be irrelevant. Society threatens a vast population to grinding poverty and suffering, but we don't want to, you know, we don't want to stick out too much. This cannot stand. And you agree, so you already agree. How have you changed since you became a Christian? And then, what about your identity is different? And how is God changing the world through your life? And what is different about you that brings glory to his name? And how is the salvation of souls in Jesus Christ made manifest in our lives? So that the world is a different place. Paul writes to the Ephesians, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Foolish, understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to make you look like a leaf on a wind that sticks out, that is challenging to the world, that is foolishly turning away from God. And we are called to stick out, to stand up, to speak up, and to speak truth to power, to use a good old Baptist term. Did you know that this year is the 150th year since the establishment of the Baptist Union of Scotland? That's not when Baptists started. It's just when they all got together and said, you know, they're kicking our butts. You want to all be together and kind of stand up and say, hey, there's enough of us here. Cut it out. Paul says, don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. If God is speaking to each one of us personally and specifically each day, this is the end. If God is speaking to each one of us personally and specifically each day, how do people learn about Jesus? Through how God is leading me each new day. The message from the scripture today is that God led Paul from place to place and moment to moment. And Paul was not the exception, right? Paul turned every experience into an opportunity to bear witness to Christ. Paul's making sales. And you know what? Priscilla and Aquila, they became disciplers. Paul is getting flogged by a Roman guard. He says, by the way, I'm a citizen. You probably shouldn't be doing this to me, or your boss is going to fire you, which means death. And the guy goes, nah. And then Paul says, you mind if I talk to the people? He goes, yeah, please don't tell my boss. And he goes, I am here before you today because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Everything you do, you turn into an opportunity. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Know what the will of the Lord is. And when you hear Paul's testimony, when you hear Stephen's testimony, it's because they bear witness to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you have to go be an evangelist and stand on the street and say, listen to me, but I'm saying in every situation, God is on a rescue mission through you. And that's what a Christian is. A person who used to be and who isn't any longer, and a person who is changing in the course of their life. Where is God taking you today that you'll be ready for tomorrow? And so we pray, we say, God, Paul wasn't the exception, he's the standard. Paul isn't the superhero, capital A apostle, he's a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we, God, we want to be like that. Except I don't want to be kooky, and I don't want to be wasting time imagining things that are not from you. And so I pray, Holy Spirit of God, to be able to discern the will of the Lord, to know your voice when you speak, and through testing all things and holding to what's good, to learn how to walk in obedience to your prompting, God. Please help. Please help, we pray. And we know that with that prayer, we finish with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you heard that prayer and you're going to do that thing. And it's not us being bossy. God wants you to know his will more than you want to know God's will. And to ask him, we know that if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have what we ask. This is the assurance we have. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse something. Go read the whole chapter. It's God's will that you know his will. And he will make you to know his will. Ask, seek, knock. It'll be answered, you will find, and doors will be opened. And God bless you. It's a good day. God bless you.